Hey there, Sports History fans. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network to share with you an awesome announcement. Now dig on this. Four of our amazing podcasts have clinched spots in the final round of the Sports Podcast Awards, and we need your support to take home the trophy. First up, we've got Basketball History 101, Driving the Lane in the Best Basketball category. Then on deck, we've got Orville Mulligan, Sports Writer. He's cracking up the competition in the Best Sports Comedy category. Marty's Illegal Stick is dominating the ice next in the Best Hockey category. And last but not least, we have Wrestling with Heels on powerbombing its way to victory in the Best Wrestling category. Now, again, we're counting on you to cast your vote and help out these incredible podcasters secure their well-deserved recognition. It's super easy. All you gotta do is head over to the dedicated landing page. That's at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Now, let's take another look at Sports Yesteryear with this episode brought to you by, of course, the Sports History Network.
On this episode of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, we're going to cover some great legends of the game. Not only ones that played on the field, but ones that coached, ones that played, and some great filmmakers that entered as contributors into the Hall of Fame. And it's all coming up in just a moment.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. And once again, I want to welcome you to the Pigpen, our place where we're going to go through some great gridiron history for February 5th in our football history headlines. But before we start, I have a couple thank yous. First of all, I want to thank you for those who have gone and bought me a cup of coffee on the website. We have a place on Pigskin Dispatch where you can go and make a little donation to the website, and we appreciate those of you that have contributed, and your funds are going back into the show and the program, trying to get the best quality equipment and packages that we can do to have some great guests on in the coming future. So we appreciate that. If you would like to donate, there's a tab on pigskindispatch.com that says buy a cup of coffee. Just click on that, follow the instructions, and any amount is greatly appreciated. We also want to thank you for playing the Search for the Yardage game that's going on through February 7th. And you can participate by going to the search box on pigskindispatch.com. And when you click on that, you play one of the keywords, which we're going to post on social media. You put that word in there, and then you go to the search box, and you'll see a bunch of different choices. The ones with the yellow triangles with question marks, those are the ones you want to choose, because those are going to give you yardage after you enter your email. And there's no harm in putting your email in there. We're doing it simply to collect data so we know who's accumulating the yardage, and you might get a few emails from Pigskin Dispatch and the Sports History Network, but we don't sell it to anybody else, and we're not going to try to sell you anything. So we thank you for those items. So let's get to our football history headlines now. As we start off February 5th, 1969, Vince Lombardi became part owner, vice president, general manager, head coach, and ate a grilled cheese sandwich, and what Ralph would take for him to leave Green Bay to join the Redskins franchise. I've made it up about the grilled cheese sandwich. The Slice of Life website shares a great article on the subject. Lombardi, who was a legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers from 1959 through 1967, turned that franchise from the doormat of the league into a perennial champion for most of the decade. After what is now referred to as Super Bowl II, Lombardi seemed to have hit a wall where his coaching juices had just burned up. He was so spent, the 1968 season, as the Packers' general manager, but found not being in charge of the sideline made him kind of anxious. The word on the street was that Vince Lombardi was looking to return to coaching, and the immediate suitors for her service included the Philadelphia Eagles and the Boston Patriots. But the Redskins president, Edward Bennett Williams, pushed all his chips into the center of the table and offered Lombardi part ownership of the team. I believe it was like 5% of the team. There was a lot happening in D.C. at that time. Nixon had just entered the White House. Ted Williams was hired as the manager of the Washington Senators MLB club. And across the NFL, Chuck Knoll was hired by the Steelers, while another Hall of Famer, John Madden, was on the payroll of the Oakland Raiders. And now Lombardi with the Redskins. Vince Lombardi was able to serve one season of his contract with the team, but he improved the team to a 7-5-2 record. But unfortunately, was diagnosed with an aggressive form of colon cancer early in 1970 and died on September 3rd, 1970 at the age of 57. We'll never know how great of a coach he could have done with that franchise, but there, he did lay a foundation where the Redskins appeared in Super Bowl VII in 1973 and gave the undefeated Dolphins a run for their money, and then moved on to bigger and better things in the 1980s with the Washington Redskins organization. February 5th, 1995, Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. The AFC Stars knocked around the NFC squad 41-13 in the 1994 season's NFL Pro Bowl game. The most valuable player of this contest was none other than Marshall Faulk, who at the time played for the Indianapolis Colts as a running back. February 5th, 2006, Ford Field in Detroit. The big storyline going into Super Bowl 40 is that the Motor City's favorite son, sorry, Arnie Chapman, it's not you, was the bust Jerome Bettis may retire after this game. Bettis was a starting fullback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was coerced out of retirement a year earlier by rookie quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, who promised him a championship if he returned. The Steelers would face a tall challenge from the Seattle Seahawks, led by veteran coach Mike Holmgren, per a Bleacher Report article. The game is forever remembered, unfortunately, for what many call a phantom officiating, as Seattle had a couple of close calls not go their way, including a goal line play where Roethlisberger ran a quarterback sneak and conclusive evidence to overturn a TD called on the field was not apparent. Then later, an apparent touchdown pass from Matt Hasselbeck to Darryl Jackson was negated by an offensive pass interference call against Jackson. The Seattle Seahawks settled for a field goal, but with the Steelers leading 14-10 early in the fourth quarter. A Hasselbeck completion to Jeremy Stevens at the one-yard line was negated by a holding penalty on offensive lineman Sean Locklear. Ford Field was populated with 80% Steelers fans based on the comments of broadcaster Al Michaels, and this added to the sour taste that Seattle fans had of the game. The Steelers had made some big plays, though, including Willie Parker's 75-yard touchdown run, which was a record, and a gadget play on an apparent end-around where wideout Antoine Randall-L stopped and launched a 43-yard touchdown strike to fellow receiver Hines Ward. The Pittsburgh Steelers overcame the Seattle Seahawks 21-10, with the game's MVP going to Hines Ward. February 5th, 2011, the legendary filmmaker Ed Sable, co-founder of NFL Films, was elected for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a contributor. Ed's NFL Films creation is an interesting story, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame website. Apparently, in 1962, Ed created a company named Blair Productions after his daughter. In order to get the exclusive right to the 1962 NFL Championship game filming, Ed doubled the next closest bid of $1,500. Commissioner Pete Rozelle accepted the $3,000 offer, and Blair Productions was in business, rolling tape at the New York Giants versus the Green Bay Packers title game. 2 years later, after experiencing success, the company was renamed NFL Films. Sable used multiple cameras to capture the aspects of the game that the average television viewer did not get a chance to see, such as the sidelines. When he mixed that with the legendary voice of narrator John Facenda, wow, what an experience fans could have in their living rooms. Ed and his son Steve Sable really revolutionized the way fans watched football games by their style of filming with NFL Films. February 5th, 2012, at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. We reflected yesterday that Super Bowl 42, the Giants reigned on the Patriots' perfect season. The two teams met again 4 years and 1 day later in Super Bowl 46. But there was a familiar vibe to the game. The Giants' defense again pressured Tom Brady and kept the juggernaut New England offense off kilter most of the evening. Another similarity was that Eli Manning led the G-men on another near game-ending drive. The Washington Post reports that the Giants, who were trailing by 2 points, drove 88 yards to the winning touchdown on a 6-yard run by tailback Ahmad Bradshaw with 57 seconds left. The New York Giants once again defeated the New England Patriots in the big game, this time by the score of 21-17. Eli Manning was selected as the game's most valuable player. February 5th, 2017, at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. Super Bowl 51 was one of the greatest comebacks in modern football history, let alone for a big-game Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons looked unstoppable as they shredded the New England Patriots for most of the beginning of the game. The halftime score was 21-3, and in the third quarter, it got even worse for the Patriots as Atlanta went up 28-3 after quarterback Matt Ryan found Tevin Coleman on a 6-yard touchdown pass in the middle of the third. That's when everything changed, though. The Patriots then reeled off 25 unanswered points in a little over a quarter to tie the game with 57 seconds left with a James White's 1-yard run and a subsequent 2-point conversion to send the game into the Super Bowl's first overtime game in history, per ESPN.com. In the extra session, the Patriots drove 75 yards in 8 plays, and White ran in another short touchdown to lift the New England Patriots over the Atlanta Falcons 34-28. It sounds like a broken record, but the MVP was once again Tom Brady of the New England Patriots. Now let's take a break from hearing from me, and I want you to hear from one of my partners on the Sports History Network. He's got something great to tell you about.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written 3 books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my 4th. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, and my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'll tell you what, Joe is really a great storyteller on that Pigskin Past podcast. You've got to take a listen to that one on the sportshistorynetwork.com. Now let's get to some birthdays and Hall of Famers. And we'll start off February 5th, 1915, on Fairfield, Alabama. The awesome center for the Auburn University Tigers, Walter Gilbert, was born. The National Football Foundation selected Walter Gilbert for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1956. February 5th, 1942, Cincinnati, Ohio. The Naval Academy's legendary quarterback Roger Staubach celebrated the day of his birth. Staubach was befitting for the name Roger the Dodger, as his elusive skill set kept defenses off guard, never knowing if he was going to run or throw a pass. The NFF states that during 3 varsity seasons, Staubach completed 292 of 463 pass attempts for an incredible 63% completion rate. And of those 463 throws, only 19 were intercepted. In 1963, Rodgers was honored with receiving both the Heisman Trophy and the Maxwell Award, along with being selected as an All-American. The voters of the College Football Hall of Fame came knocking on Roger Staubach's door to induct him into their museum in 1981. Roger Staubach then served out his 4-year commission to the Navy, and at the age of 27, joined the Dallas Cowboys as a rookie. He spent 10 seasons under center with Dallas, and per the ProFootballHOF.com website, he left with an amazing 83.4 passing rating. At the time, the best mark by any NFL player. His career stats were officially at 1,685 completions in 2,958 passing attempts, which was good for 22,700 yards and 153 touchdowns. He also was a 2-time Super Bowl winner and was the MVP of Super Bowl VI. Roger Staubach in 1985 was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. February 5th, 1943, Flint, Michigan. Craig Morton, the quarterback from California, was born. In 1964, Craig was named as an All-America selection by the Coaches Association and the Football Writers Association, the Sporting News, and Time Magazine, even though his team finished with a 7-7 record. The National Football Foundation selected Craig Morton for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1992. After he left Cal, he played 18 years in the NFL, playing with the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Broncos. February 5th, 1947, Jacksonville, Florida. The top-notch wide receiver from Florida State, Ron Seller, celebrated his arrival into this world. According to his bio on the footballfoundation.org website, Sellers, in 3 seasons at Florida State, caught 212 passes for 3,598 yards. His career yardage was a national record in 1968, and it lasted for 19 years. Ron Sellers was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1988. After college, Ron spent 5 seasons in the NFL with the Patriots, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. February 5th, 1950, Montgomery, Alabama. Wide receiver Terry Beasley of Auburn was born. Beasley was on the Heisman ballot, finishing 8th after catching 55 passes for 12 touchdowns in 1971. And the man that won the award was his own quarterback, Patrick Sullivan. The National Football Foundation selected Terry Beasley for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1986. February 5th, 1951, Fresno, California was the place, and the great Southern Cal tight end Charles Young arrived into this life. Charles was a unanimous first-team All-American in 1972 and was part of the Trojans' national championship team that season per the NFF. Charles Young was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2004. And after school, Young earned NFL Rookie of the Year honors with the Philadelphia Eagles in 1973 and went on to play for 13 seasons in the NFL with 4 different teams. He earned All-Pro honors 4 times and won a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers in 1983. We want to thank you once again for joining us for these football history headlines for February 5th, and we want to make sure you join us tomorrow. As soon as this gets released, you'll get a notification if you hit subscribe right now on your podcast player. The other ways to do it, go to your favorite podcast provider and say you want to subscribe and give us 5 stars on the rating. You can also go to the sportshistorynetwork.com, where not only is there this podcast, but there's other great podcasts there that you can check out every single day. There's almost one coming out every day of the week. Well, definitely this podcast, but our other 14 or 15 partners in the Sports History Network always have podcasts coming up, so you can check those great ones out. Or you can go to the pigskindispatch.com, where we have our podcasts and some blog articles post up every single day. And a way to get an email directly with those posts is you can email at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll send that every single morning. You'll have it in your inbox so you can catch all the action. So make sure you check out those sites. Thank you once again for buying that cup of coffee on pigskindispatch.com, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great gridiron day, everybody. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.